today as we come to the table.
This is why I'm here, and so why have you sent for me, and what's going on, or whatever. And he was literally having to choose at this moment. And am I going to be obedient to God and come outside of my religious tradition, or am I going to not do what God has told me to do? And again, some of you may be challenged already at this point today, and maybe later on with some of the things that come up, and God's going to be challenging you. Now, again, remember, you never go against conscience. But if you can't find it in the Word of God, you've got to ask yourself, why is it that I believe this? Where did this come from? And so I think that's the idea, is not just to kind of tear down things that maybe you've built up as much as it is to learn to be free within the boundaries of the Bible, not the boundaries of man.
There have been many examples in the history of the Christianity, as well as in Judaism in general, where man has added conditions or even entire new laws to the law that God ordained in Scripture. In today's passage, we'll witness Peter struggling with this and stepping into God's new covenant with faith. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. Peter struggled to accept God's new work, which expanded the boundaries of his religion to invite all people, not just Jews, into God's kingdom. As Pastor Mark will point out in today's message, many of us struggle in a similar way when we see God working in people we assume are too far gone for Jesus. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Acts, chapter 10, as he continues his message, Free at Last.
As Peter was coming in, verse 25, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped. Oh my goodness. But Peter lifted him up saying, stand up. I myself am also a man. Now again, notice it says he didn't just come in to see Peter. He bowed down and worshiped. And Peter knew nobody's supposed to worship anyone but God. You don't bow down and worship anybody but God. So Peter kind of freaks out like, no, whoa, 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 whoa. Get up. You're not supposed to bow down to me. I find that very interesting because today, even in some religious circles, people still bow down to religious leaders, don't they? And they worship them. They give them homage that only belongs to God. Peter recognized this is not something we do. As a matter of fact, we see even, you know, and it could happen to anyone, I guess, if the glory of the vision is enough. And why do I say that? Because in the book of Revelation, John goes and he gets the vision, right, of the angel telling him what's going on. And John, we're talking John's in his 90s at this point, 80s or 90s probably. And John is like, no, he's a disciple, he's an apostle, he knows better. He falls down before the angel. The glory overtakes him. And the angel says, John, get up. I'm just an angel. You're supposed to worship God. So not only does man not be worshiped, angels are not to be worshiped. It is only God that is to be worshiped. And so it's amazing to see how people still do this today. Again, I expect it in the world where you see people with their famous star or whatever as they bow down to them. But this is something that should never happen among believers. Peter recognizes that. He corrects him, has him stand up. In verse 27, and as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. So he walks in the room and he sees this large gathering of people. And he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man unclean. Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked then, for what reason have you sent me? Now, it's interesting. Peter says, for what reason? Peter probably knew that God was calling him there. You know, he knew in the back of his mind what was going on. But understand, I think Peter's processing this at the moment. See, it's hard for us to put ourselves in his cultural mindset. You had to be a Jew to be saved. You had to follow the Levitical law to be saved. And suddenly these guys they're coming here and now they're saying, preach us the gospel. He knows that God's telling him to preach the gospel, that he knows that people aren't going to, you know, follow the law. They haven't been following the law. I mean, you wouldn't just go and preach the gospel. The first thing you would do if you were trying to convert them is, are all the guys over here, the ladies over here? Ladies, you're going to have a good day. Guys, this is going to get tough as the circumcision begins, right? Okay, so this just being honest. Just being honest, right? And so the bottom line is that would be the first thing. Get the men circumcised. Everyone to agree to come under the Levitical law. following the dietary laws. And now Peter is faced with this thing where he's standing in front of a group of people looking at him going, hey, God sent you here with some kind of message. You're supposed to tell us. And this whole cultural battle and what God has told him is all raging around his mind. It's out of control. So for him to say, why have you sent me? That would be probably an honest question. Although I think Peter knew why he was sent. And it's interesting to note here, Peter first acknowledges the elephant in the room by saying what they all knew in that culture, that it wasn't clean for a Jew to walk into the home of a Gentile. But here I am, he said. I'm in a home. I guess I'm unclean, supposedly. I've walked in your home and not supposed to do this. But notice this, guys. This is where, again, God not just setting Peter free from religious or from the Levitical law, but religious tradition. Because it says nowhere in the Bible that a Jew can't go into a Gentile. Nowhere. There was nothing unclean about a Jew going in a Gentile home or a Gentile coming in a Jewish home by God's word, by the Levitical law, but according to their religious traditions. You see, as time went on, we're the chosen of God. We're the clean ones. You guys are the dirty ones. And what happened was the enemy was able to get in and cause a division to where they weren't even out sharing the good news of God with the Gentiles the way they were supposed to because they'd so divided by this religious tradition. And I wonder how many of us have not shared with people we should have shared with or hung out with people we should have hung out with to give the gospel because of religious tradition. We don't hang out with those kind of people. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we're supposed to hang out with people in their sin and just kind of be their buddy in their sin, right? That's not a wise thing to do. If you're going to hang out with somebody, you need to be the influencer. If you're going to go do that, I mean, if you just hang out with, I like the way Charles Stanley said it. He said, just to put yourself in the world and not do anything or whatever, just to hang out, it's like taking a white glove, putting the white glove on, putting it down in the mud. He says, the mud does not become glovey. It doesn't. If you just hang out in the world, you're going to get soiled by the world. You're going to become more like them. They're going to pull you into that mud. But it doesn't mean that we're not supposed to go into the world with the light of the gospel and bring them out of the mud to Christ. And so this whole thing that happened with the Jews and Gentiles, they had completely separated where they weren't going out and reaching them. They weren't trying to pull them in because of what had happened here. And so this religious tradition had separated them. And I fear that we oftentimes have religious tradition that can cause us to be separated as well. But recognizing what God was doing here, you notice Peter says, God showed me, hey, nobody's unclean. Nobody's unclean. God sent me here. And so this is why I'm here. And so why have you sent for me and what's going on or whatever? And he was literally having to choose at this moment. And am I going to be obedient to God and come outside of my religious tradition? Or am I going to not do what God has told me to do? And again, some of you may be challenged already at this point today and maybe later on with some of the things that come up. And God's going to be challenging you. Now, again, remember, you never go against conscience. But if you can't find it in the Word of God, you've got to ask yourself, why is it that I believe this? Where did this come from? And so I think that's the idea is not just to kind of tear down things that maybe you've built up as much as it is to learn to be free within the boundaries of the Bible, not the boundaries of man. God doesn't want man restricting us. God wants his word to be our guide and not man to be our guide. And so we have to choose to lay down these things and move forward, which again, Peter here right now, this is on the spot. He's got to do it. And so notice what happens. Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for, and I asked, for what reason have you sent me? So Cornelius said to him, 4 days ago, I was fasting and until this hour. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. And so notice while Cornelius was very devout and religious, he tells Peter that the angels told him to bring him there. He said, look, you know, Peter, I mean, look at Cornelius. This was a guy the Bible says was devout, religious, did good works, even gave alms generously, and yet something was missing. Something wasn't right. God says, Cornelius, you're not there yet. Cornelius had not yet been born again. He didn't know about the cross of Christ and the blood washing sins away. And so the reason God sent for Peter is so Peter could come back and give him the gospel rather than just trying to be a good religious person, doing all the right things. He needed to be saved. And so God's going to use Peter to give him the gospel and all those there with him the gospel, and they're going to give their life to the Lord. And again, guys, what a warning this is for us. Again, I speak to the South again, because we're raised in this whole go to church culture, be involved, do good works, whatever the case might be. Look, just because we do all these good works and go to church on a regular basis does not mean we know the Lord. Cornelius didn't. There has to be the acknowledgement of sin. There has to be the acknowledgement of Jesus' blood, a repentance of that sin, and we have to receive the Lord, not just believe. I think in the South, most people are believers, okay? We could say that. Now, again, I don't know that that's as true as it was, 20, 30 years ago today. But I know this, it's been traditional in the South. Most people would say they believe that Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world. They would say that. But that right there doesn't save you. Remember, we've noted this before. The Bible says the demons believe. I mean, the demons, there's not a single demon that is not a believer in Jesus Christ. Let that soak in. There's not a single demon that's not a believer in Jesus Christ. But how many demons will be in heaven? None. What is the difference? You can believe, but now you've got to receive. You've got to receive it. You've got to turn to the Lord, repent of your sins, and say, God, I receive what you've done for me. I give myself to you, and now I'm yours. And so this is what Cornelius was missing. This is what God was trying to do in this devout man, this religious man, but still wasn't saved, if you will. And so God is working in his heart, even as I think he is in hearts here this morning. But notice this again. He said to go get you, to bring you back here, if you will. So I sent you immediately, verse 33, and you've done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. I love how he turns it back. You're asking me what you're supposed to say? Look, God said the angel told you what you're supposed to say. We sent for you. Now, what are you supposed to say? You know, we don't know. You're the one that the angel sent. So, Peter, what's going on? And Peter realizes, all right, this is it. I've got to do this, you know, and this is where really the blinders fall off of Peter's eyes when it comes to the Levitical law and religious tradition. And he recognizes, you know what? The Bible didn't say anything about Jews and Gentiles. As a matter of fact, probably God was giving him all kinds of verses about the Gentiles and the fact that the Lord said there are other sheep that are not of this fold that I'm going to bring. Who knows what the Holy Spirit was doing in Peter's heart and his mind at this moment. But notice what he says, what it says in verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. What a monumental realization by Peter here. What a monumental statement that God sees everyone. God came for everyone on the planet. He died for all, the Bible says, for the sins of the world. God so loved the world that all who believed in the world could be saved and not perish if they simply give their life to the Lord. And now this is dawning here on Peter in a huge way. And notice he emphasizes it here in verse 35. He says, but in every nation, whoever, I have that underlined, note it, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Is anyone limited that can come to God? No one. The Bible says that anyone can go to God. Jesus said, whoever comes to me, I will in no way cast out. If you're a whoever, then you're welcome in the kingdom of God, but you've got to come through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's a promise of the Lord here. Notice whoever fears him, Jew or Gentile, Peter realizing this. And again, for us, we understand this readily because of hearing the gospel and being Gentiles, if you will. But you have to realize how shocking this would have been to a Jewish person in that day. This is a monumental shift in his entire mindset, a monumental shift in a cultural mindset. Everything in Peter's world is being turned around by realizing that God came for Gentiles when this is taking place. And so whoever, God's opened it to everybody. Verse 36, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. And now notice he begins to give the gospel here and give them the good news. He says, that word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began in Galilee after the baptism of John was preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are his witnesses of all these things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. That is the crucifixion. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us, who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. So what Peter does, he says, here's the gospel. He gives them the simple gospel. And by the way, guys, make sure you know how to present the gospel. It's not that hard. Listen, I've had people call me up, and I get it. I understand that. And if you ever have to do that, I'm more than willing to do it. If people call and say, I've got somebody here, Pastor Mark, and they're on the phone, and they need you to lead them to the Lord. And I'm like, if you want to give me your reward and fruit, I'll take it. Sure. Here, put them on the phone, right? But God has said, no, listen, I say that tongue in cheek. I'm more than happy to pray with them. I'm more than happy to do that. It's a joy. But I want you to be able to do that as well. And it's simply the simple basic gospel that God came in human form to the earth. He went to a cross and died for our sins. And by that blood, it pays for all the sins of mankind. And then he was in the grave and resurrected 3 days later. And because he resurrected, if you put your faith in him and believe in his blood, you will resurrect and you will live forever as well. Do you want to do that? That's what you asked them. Would you like to repent of your sin and give your life to the Lord? That's the gospel. And so learn it, practice it, be ready for it. God's going to give you opportunities to do it. Peter here lays out a very clear gospel. And again, makes it very clear that all and any who want to come are welcome. Notice what he says here in verse 42. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who has ordained, who ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets witness that through his name, here it is again, whoever believes in him will receive the forgiveness or remission of sins. Again, this revelation, not just that it was Gentiles, but also that Peter mentions twice here, he's realizing God will take anyone. There are no restrictions to heaven if they simply come through the cross. And so he emphasizes again, whoever will believe will be saved. No limits whatsoever. And notice what happens here. Look at verse 44. And while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who had heard the word. Now I want to point this out, guys. You remember in the scripture, there's three different workings of the Holy Spirit. There's the indwelling, there's the withdwelling, and there's the ondwelling. The indwelling, the Bible tells us doctrinally in Romans, happens the moment someone gives their life to Christ. When you gave your life to the Lord, God moved in you, he indwelt you. If you're here today and you give your life to the Lord, the moment you do that, the Holy Spirit will indwell you, okay? That's living inside of you. That just happened here. The Holy Spirit, again, is coming within them. Also, there's the withdwelling. That is, the Lord is with us. It's a different word used there in the Greek, and it means he leads us and directs us. But then there's a third word, epi, we've talked about before, that's used here. It's an indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and it's given for power and for the gifts of the Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit here, it says, came upon them. And note this, you've got to first have the indwelling before you can have the ondwelling. So these are now believers. They have been saved at this moment. And it says, on those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, these with a Jewish background and mindset, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. And what he means is, what happened at Pentecost? We saw it happen with the Jews. Now we're seeing it happen with the Gentiles. They have believed. They now have the Spirit poured out on them. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Now, guys, again, this is amazing here because you see Peter. It's interesting. It says while Peter was still speaking, Peter didn't even get to finish his message. They were so ready. They were just burning, and God saw that, and God poured out his Spirit on them and began to fill them with the Spirit. It is kind of interesting. You know, I told you there's times I feel like when I've been praying that God has interrupted me. Maybe you've had that happen in your life. If you're a talker, that's probably happened. Sometimes it's probably the only way God can get my attention. Hey, okay, yes, Lord, you know, whatever. But Peter's the only apostle that the Bible tells us was interrupted by all three persons of the Trinity. Isn't that something? Jesus said, you know, get behind me, Satan, right? And then he's up on the Mount of Transfiguration. The Father interrupted him when he was saying, you know, hey, should we build a couple of tabernacles? He said, this is my son, hear him. Now the Holy Spirit interrupts him right here. He just, boom, pours out the Spirit and all. And so, okay, Lord, I guess you're just going to do what you're going to do. And so it is encouraging to know, though, that if we simply do what God asks us to do, God's going to do what he's going to do, right? If God's going to pour his Spirit out on you guys, you know, we don't have to wait. God will just do it, you know? And so it's wonderful. I wish God would do that today. Be very exciting. But this is interesting here to see the fact that, again, the Spirit came upon them, and they began to speak in other languages. And guys, here I want you to note something about, you know, this is where, again, religious tradition comes in. And that is, if you were like me, like growing up in the South, I was told that the outpouring of the Spirit and the gifts and things were not for today. That was something I believed growing up. And it's something I believed, you know, throughout my life until I got saved. And after I got saved, a few months later, somebody said, hey, have you been empowered by the Spirit? And so I said, no, I haven't. I remember being alone. I was alone at someone's house. I wasn't at a service. Nobody was telling me what to do. Nobody was trying to make anything happen. I was alone praying to God, and the Spirit of God fell upon me. And God gave me gifts of the Spirit. And what I found about the gifts of the Spirit is that God gives them because we're going to need them. I needed a gift of teaching. And you're glad I have you. I'm not saying it's that great, but you certainly want somebody up here that has one. Because if you have somebody who doesn't at least have a gift of teaching, you're bored to death the entire time, right? There needs to be some level. And God has given everybody in here a gift in some level or place. And the Bible didn't say anywhere that the gifts have stopped. And I remember when that happened, it was like this kind of shock of this thing. Wow, this is real. It just happened to me, and I didn't even know it really existed. But okay, here we go. And it was funny. My roommate had heard that happened. So he called a friend in who was going to come and correct me theologically that it wasn't for today. So his friend came in and said, well, by the way, did you know that back in Jesus' day, the rabbis taught that the gifts of the Spirit were not for their day, but for the days of the prophets? Isn't that interesting? Now in our day, what do some people say? The gifts of the Spirit are not for today, but they're for the days of Jesus. It just keeps getting pushed back a couple thousand years. The Bible doesn't say it ever ended. And so I didn't know enough about the Bible to know that. All I know is that it happened. And so this guy comes to meet with me. He says, well, I just want to meet with you. I know that some experience happened to you or whatever. And so I just come to let you know here that that's not for today. And so whatever this guy thinks. And I just told him, I said, you're too late. I said, you're too late. I said, I don't know about your theology. I'm a baby Christian, but I know what happened. And it was supernatural, and I wasn't expecting it, and it just happened. So I'll let you work that out with your theology. You do that. I'm just going to continue to walk in the Spirit. And I say that to say, guys, look, I think the reason God did that with me, the way he did it and calling me into ministry, is so that you would know, look, it's not something you work up. It's not something you manufacture. It's not something that it's just predominant with some group or whatever. It's something God wants to do. It's your toolbox for ministry. You're going to need a word of wisdom one day. You're going to need a word of knowledge. You're going to need a gift of teaching. You're going to need a gift of evangelism. You're going to need a gift of faith at the right moment. And if you don't open yourself up and say, God, I want whatever you have for me. Just, God, I'm ready. You do it and just allow God to work. Then you're not going to have that opportunity. Well, the Spirit here falls upon them. They're filled with the Spirit. And there's a couple things, again, I want you to note here. This is something else. We talked about challenging some spiritual traditions of the South. That last one I just brought up probably did that for some of you. But here's another one. They were saved. They were filled with the Spirit. They were going to heaven, and not one of them was yet baptized. That's in the South, spiritual tradition. Got to be baptized to be saved. Where does that say in the Bible? It doesn't. And this right here proves that you do not have to be baptized to be saved. I've been thinking about the man on the cross. Who baptized him? Nobody. What's my point? Okay, so should we not get baptized? No, you need to. Matter of fact, we are all commanded to. It is a command of the Lord to be baptized. And why does he do that? Not only that it solidifies in us what we've done, an outward showing of what God done on the, has done on the inside, but it's used as a testimony to the world. So it's an act of righteousness that we do before the Lord. But it's not a requirement unto salvation. And I say that, look, not to try to just break down spiritual traditions of the South, but I say that for the person that had the family member in the hospital bed that gave their life to Christ and died, and they say, Pastor, did they go to heaven? They weren't baptized. This is the kind of stuff it does, guys. If you get outside the lines of the Bible, it can cause people great heartache. We need to know what the Word of God says. We need to understand the Word of God and be able to encourage people in that, not for fights and not to try to win a fight or an argument. That's the last thing I want. We're supposed to be at peace and love with one another, but we have to recognize the reality of what the Scripture teaches in order to be able to recognize what God is showing us and how we're supposed to live. And notice it says, then Peter answered and said, well, all right, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? God's taking them in. What are we gonna do? He said, baptize them, let's go do it. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And then they asked him to stay for a few days. No doubt they wanted some further instruction. I'm sure he probably passed them off to Philip, and they got a church going there and all. We don't know all the history that went with that, but very exciting. Look, as we finish today, guys, let me just say this. I hope that there's been some help in your heart to be set free from Levitical law and from religious tradition. All traditions are not bad. Just because you have religious tradition, it's okay to hold on to it. Some of them are wonderful. It's like we have traditions we do at Christmas or traditions or whatever, and we have religious traditions in a church. That's not a problem. The problem is when you look to the religious tradition and say, if you don't do it this way, you're wrong, right? It's not in the Bible. Don't do that to people. And also to be pulled under the Levitical law, and that's something I've been watching happen in the church recently, where there's this new movement, it happens in every generation, where they try to pull people back under the law. And so again, God makes it very clear in the Word of God, don't let anyone do that. Don't even give them a second to have the opportunity to do that. You're free in Christ, and so don't come under that bondage.
Thanks for joining us today on Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. Pastor Mark is teaching verse by verse through the book of Acts, a powerful account of how the early church was established and spread throughout the world. Acts shows us the bold faith of the apostles, the power of the Holy Spirit at work, and the unstoppable growth of God's kingdom despite opposition. Just as the early believers relied on God's strength to proclaim the gospel, we too are called to live boldly for Christ in our daily lives. Their stories remind us that no obstacle or difficulty is too great to overcome when God is leading the way. Trust that God is for you and with you as you journey in your faith. If you have any questions or prayer requests, we'd love to hear from you and pray with you. You can give us a call at 865-609-1385. We'd love to have a conversation with you. Once again, that's 865-609-1385. Come to the Table is a media ministry based out of Calvary Knoxville in Knoxville, Tennessee. If you're in the Knoxville area, we'd love for you to visit Calvary Knoxville this Sunday. We want to meet you. Feel free to check our website for service times at thewaymedia.net. Scroll down the page and find a link to Calvary Knoxville. As our time comes to a close today, we trust that you've been encouraged through this teaching in Acts. please make a point to join us next time as Pastor Mark continues to teach biblical truths and practical applications on living out the Christian faith from this inspiring book, right here on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.